Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Yes, indeed. That is the intention. We are supporting you to evolve, to grow, and recognize who you are as we move through all the changes that life presents us. We know all as well because there is no spot where God is not. And in that spirit, in that light, we want to remind ourselves who we are, why we are, and understand and remember that we are part of the healing.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
Yes, we are. That is the truth. Even with all that's going on in Atlanta, people stranded on the highways for nearly 24 hours in the cold, students stranded in school, stayed over school, parents can't get to them. It's a mess. It's a mess. But even in that, we know that God is right where everyone is. And we are holding the high watch. We're keeping the high vibration and sending out this wonderful prayer to everyone who's stranded, who's dealing with the challenges of the snow in Atlanta. Ricky Byers Beckwith. Om Shanti. Indeed, let there be peace in our minds.
Let there be peace in the earth.
Yes. Om Shanti. Peace, wholeness, and healing is raining down on the state of Atlanta. Georgia, should I say. So much going on. And of course, people are doing what people do. Show up and be of service. I look forward to a day where it's not something surprising. Then naturally we just help. And it's like, yeah, we expect it. Ricky Byers Beckwith, Om Shanti, and everyone that is moving through some kind of growth experience, challenge, problem, obstacles, hindrance, whatever you call it, I'm holding the high watch for you, seeing the best. May you find peace of mind even as you go and grow through it. May you know that you are loved and supported in the midst of all that's going on. Ricky Byers Beckwith, Om Shanti. You can find her virtual home, weletitbe.com. Weletitbe.com or rickybb.com. Rickybb.com. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired. And you make a difference. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson, my beautiful friend, sister, co-host, the author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truth in America's Soul. And yours truly, Life Coach Adding. And we got a great one for you today. I don't think I've ever said that. But I've heard the presenters, radio shows, we got a great one for you today. Yeah, we got a great one for you today. You know, because you're listening. Yes, thank you for showing up. We welcome all our listeners, those of you listening online and the phone lines, those of you listening to the archive. Thank you for tuning in. Wherever you're listening from, thank you for making the time. Glory is in the house. Yvette is in the house. Celeste is in the house. Jackie is in the house. Silent listeners, this guy just guess. Oh, Glennis is here. It is nice to see you. And all of you that we can't see, thank you. And those that want to be here but just got caught up, busy, or whatever the case may be, we hold you in consciousness knowing that we are interconnected, interrelated. We are one. So you are here with us. And Lisa Iverson is here. So we're going to do a quick announcement, and then we'll continue the conversation. And, yeah, I think that's all I need to say before anything else. But if not, Celeste will let me know. Hey, Celeste, how are you?
Hello, Life Coach today. I am doing great and very excited about this conversation that you're having on Ancestral Blueprints, which
yes.
Airs on the last Wednesday of the month, full of hot topics.
Mm-hmm.
I am looking forward to it. And you go until 1:30 today. That's just to let people know who are new to the show.
Indeed, indeed. Today's conversation is an embodied conversation with the internalized colonizer. I've got to say that real slow. Colonizer.
Mm-hmm.
I say too fast. I just my tongue and my teeth and my mouth just go crazy. So yes.
Yes.
Breathing.
I anticipate that people are going to want to join this conversation. So I want to let them know. Don't wait till the last minute thinking you got to 2:00. So make sure you call in. But let me go ahead and jump in and break down the announcements. We've got some things coming up on Life Conversations Radio Network. I want to let the family know about. So
indeed.
Hello, family. It's my pleasure. I want to keep you abreast of some of the going-ons at Life Conversations Radio Network. Next week, the brothers are coming back to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show at 12 p.m. Eastern. Ashande Yamon, Kasembe Abena, and Don Wolf will be in the studio discussing the latest topics affecting men. And then tomorrow, Life Coach Today will be back on the playground with Mbasa Safira at 7 p.m. Eastern. Together, they will show you how to passionately love and appreciate yourself. So make sure you join them on Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, Don't Let the Train Depart Without You on Saturday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. Be sure to catch The Sounds of Soul with Adeyemi Folose. You can find him on 12radio.com. It's a musical show, and if you get in early, you might be able to put some requests on his wall. Not trying to make him do extra work, but I'm just saying, you've got time. So don't miss me as well on The Celestial Show at 8 p.m. Eastern on Sundays. And that, family, is a quick wrap-up of what's happening on Life Conversations Radio and beyond. Thank you.
To infinity and beyond. Thank you, Celeste.
Yes, my pleasure.
That's where we come from. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for that reminder. That's right. That's where we're rooted in. We're rooted in the infinity consciousness, because we know we got support that goes on generation after generation after generation. It just goes deep, deep. So there's no conversation we can't have as we join together and support one another. But I won't go get ahead of myself. I got to bring on my dear friend, and I love this woman. I just love her courage. I love her heart, her compassion, her insight. Lisa, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. I was blushing hearing you both talk about me.
In front of your face? What you going to do? What you going to do?
Feeling the love across the airwaves. And, you know, that's right. There's a few miles between us, but no separation in spirit. And, deep gratitude for you, for Celeste, for all of you involved with this conversational platform that brings so many together. Yeah. And I look forward to our time today.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. You know, before we jump in, I just want to put this out there. As I said, I love you. And this conversation that we're getting ready to have, I don't hear it often. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It's not something that I hear. Times can be heavy. I love your courage, your willingness, and your just the fact you move in the direction of your surrender to say yes, even though I'm sure there are times when something comes up for you and like, oh, I don't know. Whoa, okay, I'm listening, Spirit. But I'm grateful for who you are, and I'm so blessed to know you, to call you my friend.
Thank you very much. I find myself, as you say, everything that you just said, I'm grateful as well, and remembering with gratitude the beginning of our meeting there in Atlanta after some work that we did together. And it's perhaps a really good grounding point for the conversation that we have today about this idea, this image of an internal colonizer, because, you know, it's really good to come into this conversation from a place of groundedness and centeredness.
Yes.
And that begins with those of us who are in the conversation. So,
yes, indeed. How would you
start there?
Yes, sure, certainly, because that's what was on my mind. So we want to talk about family constellation, I think that's a good place to lay the foundation so that we're grounded. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. My first profession is as a psychotherapist, and I've been a licensed clinical social worker since I don't remember when, but I've been a therapist since 1993, so that's a little over 20 years. And about 7 years into my practice, I was introduced to this work called family constellations or systemic constellations. That was in 1998. And that work was developed in Germany, and it has to do with working with the soul of the family. It has to do with being with how the truths of what has happened in the generations before us, the unacknowledged truths, are still influencing us today. And it's a really beautiful, respectful, profound way to primarily in group settings, but also in one-on-one with a seasoned practitioner. It's also a way to experience this larger generational blueprint that is in us and that we're in, and to really, in that process of honoring previously unacknowledged truth, come into more clarity. The pieces of family life, the people who are in family life, begin to fall into place in a very experiential way in this group setting, in a way that's kind and compassionate, often quite emotional, because the process involves releasing usually previous frozen grief. It has to do with melting trauma that has been frozen in the soul. These are the reasons that truth goes buried. These are the reasons that truth goes unacknowledged in our individual lives, in family life, in our country's soul. You know, we have a difficulty with truth. Confusion results, defenses build up, because we're human. So this process is quite a wonderful, profound thing. So after many years in this field, I was invited there to work in Atlanta, and you and I met there. I don't know what year that was. What year was that day?
Oh, gosh. Must have been 2007 or something. Oh, eight, somewhere around there. Oh,
yeah.
So 7 or 8. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want to say about that.
I'd be happy to. And then when I finish, I want you to kind of maybe break down a little bit what you mean by frozen grief. Because a part of me thinks some people might, what do you mean frozen? But my experience, I mean, when I was told about family constellations, the person, a friend of mine who was telling me, she was kind of like, well, you know, there's things that happen that you don't know about. And I'm kind of trying to follow what she's saying. It sounds good. I'm always all for doing the work. It's always for doing the work. And she was saying, well, it's going to happen this week. And, well, I don't even know if it was that week. But anyway, she was telling me about it. And then I thought, wow, yeah, this sounds interesting. I remember talking to Ambassador about it. So after deciding, you know, after going back and forth and figured out I was going to go, I went. I was thinking, I don't know what this is, but I say yes. If it's for healing, I'm there. I remember meeting you and just your energy. You're very quiet. And you're like, hey, how you doing? And I said hello, and I sat down. And as I was listening, I'm thinking, oh, my God, this thing that this lady's talking about, I hope I don't mess it up. Because I'm hearing the description, and how would I know what to say? And you and I, Lisa, we had some conversation at the beginning, and I think I was the first one to go, which is usually the case. But if I that's what I remember, even if it isn't. But usually I'm usually the first one to go. What was astounding about it was when I talked about, I shared a story about my father and my family. And the idea is you have, and sure Lisa can explain it better than me, but you have someone standing for you to represent your father, your mother, your family, or something, your job, your whoever it is. And the connection I made with the person who was standing in for my father just evoked so much emotion. I started to feel like I was going to cry. I'm like, what the heck? Why am I suddenly having this strong urge to cry? And that was the only question I could ask. Before you know it, tears were just pouring out because it just connected with grief that I didn't even know, things that I felt about my relationship with my father. And as we moved on, there were other things that were coming up. And the idea of when you maybe move someone to the side, or they move, they take themselves out because they get tired, or they say something like, oh, I feel like I want to sit down. And you, Lisa, have a way of really getting the message of what that represents. And it resonates. And you may be like a grandfather. I remember when you brought my grandfather, somebody standing in for my grandfather. The experience was so healing because I never met my grandfather, and both of them really. And it was, the energy was alive, even though I didn't know them. And I fell in love. I was like, I want to know more of this work. It blew me away. And they taught me that, you know, in this very moment, when we talk about we are one, that really was an experiential awareness that we are indeed one, because the energies were alive. My grandfathers that I never met, the energy were alive. I felt it. And it took me over. It was just, it's far more, I mean, I don't know if I've ever done anything like that. I mean, I've done a lot of different workshops, retreat, not to say one is better than the other, but the experience that I had here, it doesn't even require a lot of prepping. It's just, okay, well, I've always had this, whatever it is. But it is very, very healing. And I guess it's actually good that I told you to talk about the frozen grief, because it feels like it's a good way to segue that, because I had the grief. I didn't know it was frozen. I had no clue. I just thought, well, you know, I'm making it. I'm on a spiritual path. I love my father. We don't have a great relationship, but, you know, he's my father. And I got in the circle with you, and, ooh, it was melting quicker than the snow in Atlanta right now.
Yeah, thank you. Given the weather you're having in Atlanta, it's particularly a good day to talk about that, isn't it? The melting, you know, the frozen, this idea of frozen grief that you are describing from that really embodied experience in that circle.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time we don't know that there is such a thing inside of us until we have an experience of melting.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a funny paradox. So that experience that you had, that I really appreciate you describing in a, it's a personal thing, that experience most of the time in these circles, you know, where we're experiencing, it's quite intimate, the experience of, it's about being a son or a daughter, the experience of that with our mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, grandparents, aunts, uncles, great-grandparents, partners, loves, husbands, wives, children, grandchildren. You know, the intimacy of family life is not something that there's just a lot of an energy in the States, particular in Western culture. People carry around these deepest things inside of themselves as individuals. You know, we live in a very, you know, a culture that really focuses so deeply on the individual. We don't realize until there is an experience like this in a group setting how much we have in common with other people.
Right, right. Which also, sorry to interrupt there, that in that setting is facilitated, if you will, for healing. But that same energy comes up when we are with other people at work in a grocery store, but we're not always aware. We get triggered, if you will, the wrong way. So,
absolutely. It's a big focus of my work is, and I'm always grateful when new language insights come to describe that experience. The image that's with me a lot these last several years is one of ambassadors, how much others who come across our path are ambassadors to our own families we come from. Mm-hmm. And how much we get recruited. You know, we recruit other people to be ambassadors to our own family soul.
Mm-hmm.
And we become recruited by others to do the same for them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a deep, deep drive inside each person and inside each family soul for the place of belonging and the place of connection and the place of order in each family to be recognized and to be clear. And for order to be restored when it has been disrupted in some way. So what I mean by that is that, again, out of the human experience, often what happens in family life is the youngest generation, the youngest in the family, blindly, unconsciously, out of love, tries to take something on for the earlier generations. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you know, a son or a daughter has a feeling in their heart, a feeling in their soul of heaviness that might be a grief of some kind that belongs to a grandparent, to a great-grandparent, to many generations. You know, the circumstances, the source of that heaviness, the source of that grief can be any number of things. It could be a broken heart from a lost love. It can be from a war experience. Could be from the death of a sibling. Could be from a larger experience, a collective kind of a thing that happened to a whole people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in Germany, this work developed out of German war trauma. It developed out of the Holocaust, frozen grief trauma in the German soul around the Holocaust. So in Germany, this work, the constellation work, is very well known. It's you know, most people in the country know of this work because it became conceptualized and developed by Bert Hellinger, who grew up in that era, who was a part of that experience as a young man. And this approach has helped them as a country take a step toward healing that trauma, which was both personal, individual, familial, and nationally experienced.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So for me, you know, being in this field, this is my life's work. For me, as I love the constellation work, but for me it has led me to, with deep gratitude, the remembrance of the place of our ancestors. And what an incredibly irreplaceable, blessed resource our ancestors are.
Mm.
And how much we need them, how much they are looking for us, and we are looking for them. And how much, in order to really move forward in a good way, we have to look back. We have to look back, and we have to be really smart in ways that are soulfully smart, not from the neck up smart. We have, you know, an intellectual capacity that is exceptional as a species. You know, we were made with these brains, with these, you know, what a gift. We need to, in order really to move forward in a good way, let our brains be informed by our souls, by our bodies, and restore a kind of an integration, an order that has been missing. I'm speaking as an American. So as an American living in our country that has, if we look back together, quite an incredible amount of trauma and loss, disconnection. If we look back together, each of us in our own way, at those images, we might have a way to then become a bit more present here and now, more clearly, and look forward and pass on to our children and our grandchildren less mm-hmm. frozen, less grief-filled, less separated images, so that they can move forward with a bit more integration than what we have right now. So, you know, again, taking that idea from Germany, the Holocaust, that World War II, that's very recent history in the mm-hmm. United States. We have quite a long history, a several hundred year history of collective experience that's filled with a fair bit of disconnection and trauma and loss. The country was formed out of disconnection from family. So out of that disconnection from family, in resonance with it, we have these larger images around immigration. We have the taking of so much that happened in the colonial movement between European and Native American people. We have the collective movement of slavery. So these are the large landscape images that are held in the large landscape, but also in each individual person in unique ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's with those kinds of noticings that this upcoming offering around the internal colonizer, this program came to be. And I want to check with you now. I've been talking quite a bit here the last few minutes.
Well, I was just going to say that. Right. Well, I was just going to say that I appreciate the pace at which you are sharing, because for many reasons, this conversation is big. You're doing a four series in Washington State.
Retreat.
And we'll talk. Yeah, and it's deep, but you know, there's so many things that was triggered for me now. For those who don't know, we have a major mess about how the state is dealing and the city of Atlanta dealing with snow and people stuck on the highway for almost 24 hours now, adults, children are sleeping in schools because they didn't want the buses to take them home because it wasn't safe. Some buses were stuck for hours, 9 hours in the cold. There's a lot of that going on. But what I wanted to bring out is when I listened to the mayor, when I listened to the governor talk about what happened, it was striking for me. It's like the conversation was just from the neck up. Mm-hmm. Like, well, you know, this is what we did. There's been this much brutality. We rescued this. This is what City of Atlanta is doing, and blah, 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 and this is what we – and I get that. Even when they ask the mayor, what would you say to parents who can't get to their kids right now? I'll tell them, don't panic. We're doing our best. And you know, and I'm thinking, I don't know if it's a parent, but I'm thinking, can anybody speak to the pain of a mother, even though you know your children are being taken care of? They're not around you. And you know, this happened today, so I was thinking, I wonder what that's about. And as I listen to you, because we do default to the head, from the head up, we kind of just go up because it's safer to debate and argue. But, you know, that came up for me, and you can tie it in to the conversation. But now at your, you know, just if you feel we're ready to go there, and I got to tell your listeners, just let you know you're listening to Ancestral Blueprints. My co-host is Lisa Iverson. She's the author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truth in America's Soul. And today's theme, today's conversation, is an embodied conversation with the internalized colonizer. So I'm sure some of you saw that and go, whoa. And for me, it brings up a lot, which I want to talk about that right now. But I wanted you to kind of just share with us, what does that mean, the internalized colonizer? colonizer. How does it? What does it mean? And how does it show up?
Yeah, this is a great question, and it is one of the reasons that I am doing this series, that I'm offering this series, that we can be with one another and experience, really experience, how does it show up? So here's the thing, is that colonialism, none of us have been untouched by it. It's a global history. I'm going to refresh all of us. Okay, I did a frequently asked questions page for this series. So let's just first refresh all of us. Like, what is colonialism? Okay, here's a standard definition. The control of one nation by transplanted, that's in quotation marks, transplanted people of another nation. Often a geographically distant nation that has a different culture and dominant racial or ethnic group. The system or policy by which a nation seeks to extend or retain its authority over other peoples or territories. Hmm. So let's just, you know, we'll narrow it down to the U.S. So the U.S. was colonized.
Uh-huh.
Colonial country. So it was colonized. That's how the U.S. came to be. This idea of an internal colonizer is that no matter what a person's lived history has been or is, no matter what their ancestry is, no matter what their ancestors' experience was, whether they were the colonizers or the ones being colonized, or maybe in the head the idea is, well, they weren't either, you know, they came over, you know, I came over this country from wherever I came from 10 years ago, or my parents came here 30 or 40 years ago, you know, we weren't a part of that, they weren't a part of that. The reality is, because we're here, that history is behind us, and the country wouldn't be here with it. We wouldn't be here without the country being where it is. So there's this, like, domino effect. So this idea of the internal colonizer, it's a way for us to really, in a paced way, these circles invite, these, like, this Saturday's colonizer circle invites us to experience with other people who are doing the same thing in their own way. Where is that energy in me? So the experience is one of taking. The colonial movement is one of taking from another. And we have a lot of conversation and observation and experience in the U.S. around the experience of other. So sometimes we are the other, whatever that is. You know, it's contextual. Yes. It's just contextual that goes. Where, you know, there is an energy of perpetration.
Mm-hmm.
Persecution sometimes with colonialism. Where does that live in me? Do I identify more easily with the experience of being colonized because that's what happened to my people? They were colonized. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, I relate to the experience of being taken from. I identify with that. So I'll carry that kind of a still continuation of the suffering in connection with who and where I come from. But then the question is, whose task is it? Whose task is it to acknowledge the taking? How does that live in us individually and as a country, because the reality is you don't get one energy without the other. There's no there's no taking without being taken from. It's two sides of the same coin. And one of the many things from the constellation field is how much, in order for there to be true reconciliation, the bond between the two needs to get recognized. It's waiting to be recognized. The bond between perpetrator and victim, there's a bond that happens in the experience. So until we recognize that, the pattern, the energy keeps going. So for me, I'm really interested in what our task is as the grown-ups. Whoever, wherever we come from, what's our task as grown-ups? To pass on pictures of more reconciliation to our children and our grandchildren. And in order for that to happen, again, it requires this kind of a being with these, not only looking back, but being with the places that are uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for the sake of it, but, again, for the purpose of really, truly promoting reconciliation. This Saturday's experience, this series, is very much an opportunity to be with this history in a way that's different than most programs around race or reconciliation or collective trauma. It's designed in a way that is primarily experiential, embodied experience with meditation, with prayer, with the constellation work, ceremony, so that we can really reclaim this integration again between the soul, the body, and the mind, that it's not all from the neck up. That's not gonna do it. We know how to do that.
And doing it from the neck up actually leaves us feeling exhausted, frustrated, angry, and burnt out.
And it's a consequence of trauma. Being in a place of from the neck up is one of the indicators of the unhealed trauma.
You know, when I think of the word colonialism, the first thing that always comes up for me is racism. Because as you were talking now, I was kind of just sitting with it, and I'm thinking, okay, the first thing that came up for me is racism, because I see it. I mean, I've been gone from Nigeria now since 2086. We're not there yet, 1986. And that's a long time. And I'm reading a book by a Nigerian author called Half of a Yellow Sun, and it had me think about my experience in Nigeria. And as you were talking, I remember growing up in Nigeria, generally, well, in my family, it was almost like the conversation was moving, you know, sending their children. Nigerians are trying to send their children to England because it's better over there, better education, better this, better that. And as you were talking now, I was thinking, I wonder what kind of imprint that left on us. If a land is supposed to be our own, it's not as good as somewhere else that you want to send your children. And, I've never even thought of it that way. But I know that, you know, when the British were running Nigeria, I've heard somebody tell me that Jamaica, somebody I love so dearly, she's talked about how Jamaica, she's Jamaican, black Jamaican, she said, Jamaica was so much better when the British was running it. Now we've got our country back, and we're just, I mean, she just goes off on one. And it's like, and I'm wondering, well, I'm not wondering. I really do believe that how we respond or react really to matters of racism of our own, if we belong to a country or not, the idea of there are African-Americans or some teachers who are so, what I would call, very radical. And it becomes our people, our people, our people. And then and the white American, well, I wasn't there. Those are my ancestors. You can't blame me. That's in the past. Let's move beyond it. And I know that the work that you're doing is part of the healing. And I must admit that sometimes I wonder if there is a light at the end of the tunnel, because it sometimes can be traumatic. Sometimes it's traumatic. Sometimes it's painful to really, and especially when you talk about the internalized colonizer. It's like self-responsibility, because it's easier to say, like you said, the other, they did this. They did this to us, to our country, to our people. But to kind of look at how it's showing up, where I've been like the people that I criticize, that's not always easy.
That's right. That's right. That's right. I really appreciate everything you're saying. There's, I want to come back to it in a little, well, I'll come back to this first thought in a little bit. This idea of the internal colonizer, based on the definition that I shared earlier, the definition I came up with for the internalized colonizer, this is a work in progress, but what I have so far is that it's the aspect of a person or the subgroup of a larger group that desires or seeks to control, extend, or retain power or authority over another aspect of the self, another person, or the group where there is a difference. So what happens, it is a big deal to consider self-responsibility, individual relationship with that larger energy field of colonialism. Colonialism, right, I mean, how it is generally right now, it's anonymous, it's historic, it's an idea, it's a concept, it's not personal, even if I have, you know, it's not relatable. But what happens if we, again, I am looking for, it feels essential for the sake of our children to find a way to relate in an embodied way, in a personal way, in an individual way with this history. So in the midst of that, what you spoke of a minute ago around racism is the truth that whiteness is not an ancestor. So, you know, one of the things that we don't see, you know, one of the really important things about colonialism is that whiteness was used as a justification for colonialism. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. In that, there's a lack of recognition of the relationship between skin color and ancestry. Mm. White people with white skin, it's essential that there's a way for people with white skin to claim their ancestry. Because if whiteness, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
The home country, it's about the home countries, it's about the people, it's about the traditions, it's about the homelands. It's the disconnection from the European homelands and web that has allowed, promoted the colonial movement. So I'm interested in creating, facilitating, being a part of processes that promote reconciliation in the European soul, because that's also the place where the strength is going to come from to face and to carry the necessary burden of guilt that's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
When you say reconciliation in the European soul, what do you mean by that?
In the States, the immigrant experience, you you know, you can, yeah. The, it's such a big topic. The best thing I can say is to quote a friend of ours, Reverend D. Edsel Moses, one day many years ago, she said to me in a conversation just like this, she said, you know, white people don't know they have ancestors. And that sentence stuck with me for many years. And it's different to know that one has ancestors, again, from the neck up in an intellectual way. But the reality is, you know, a lot of, until Ancestry.com, until these databases showed up, which is also part of this phenomena, I think, that we've got all this information available to us now in computer records around who and where we come from, but how do we integrate that information in the soul and the body? You know, to me, that information being available reflects the drive for reconciliation where there has been separation. It reflects the movement of restoration of family life. But the reality is a lot of Americans, they might not even know who their grandparents were. To know who your great-grandparents were, that's like a long history. There's an experience of broken family connection. We'd be here all day with sharing evidence of ways in which there's fragmentation in the immediate family experience. So that didn't happen overnight.
Right.
Where we are,
right.
Where we are today with the state of the family unit is absolutely in connection with the larger experience of immigration, of colonialism, these larger histories we're talking about.
You know, when we got the email that this is going to be a topic, I remember thinking, woo, all right. And one that I'm not afraid to have, but I just know that it's, I mean, I know this radio show, it's part of the healing and the catalyst for people to start looking at the internalized colonizer. Because so much is shooting up for me that, you know, it's like, even the idea, and I'll stay with my experience of how I look at it, there's so many points of view, I get that. But for somebody to be seen, to grow up feeling, thinking they're less than human, for another race to think one race is better than the other, we're all catching it, if you will. We're all in the midst of it. And then when you talk about the disconnection from ancestors, for me, that's like a disconnection from your root. And if you're disconnected from your root, then you don't really feel like you belong. Then you become an antagonizer. And the ones that are controlling is fighting to have control. So it's like you said, you don't have one without the other. And it all lives in us because we're part of this web.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and this whole idea of how experience of difference gets can be one of threat is really big, you know. So the friend who's convening this internal colonizer series with me, her name is Kate Regan. Kate, in the process of putting this program together, Kate has her own working definition of colonialism that I'm going to share because I find it also very compelling and interesting for people to try on with me here. Kate's given everything we've talked about so far, She says, the consequences of disrupted belonging live on. So there's so much what we're talking about. It's about disrupted belonging. She says, when we don't know where we belong, we mistake agreement or shared ideas as a replacement for belonging. In this way, colonialism is a way of dominating how meaning is made.
Hmm. Read that again, please. I wanted to sink in.
I'm happy to, yeah. So, you know, so much of what we're talking about has to do with belonging, being clear, where do we belong in our families? And when there's been a disconnection from our roots, which is the American experience,
mm-hmm.
There's confusion about belonging.
Right.
So, okay. So that's a, yeah, nutshell kind of a thing to say. So Kate's relating that with this idea around colonialism and domination of one people over another people.
Mm.
And the consequences of disrupted belonging live on. When we don't know where we belong, we mistake agreement or shared ideas as a replacement for belonging.
Wow. I got it now. Wow.
You got it now? And in this way, colonialism is a way of dominating how meaning is made.
Wow. I see that show up in politics. You know, people say, I'm a Republican, Democrat. We Americans. And then,
absolutely.
You know, we Africans. And, oh, my God.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
So
wow.
That
go ahead.
That definition, that way of looking at it, I'd like to talk to somebody who can't relate to that.
Yes.
I'd like to find somebody who doesn't see some expression of that in American culture. Because there are so many examples of it.
Mm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that come up for me all the time is when we think of how we mistreat each other. Just take America, for example. We're in America. We use America as an experiment. Americans can say, we Americans, we stick together. Now, throw religion into the equation, then it's like a parting of the sea. Like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm Christian. I don't believe in God. I'm Muslim. I'm this. Now, so homosexuality into the equation. Oh, there's a at first there was this shared idea that we are American, we stick together, and then you know politics, socioeconomic. You put everything into the mix where people live in the ghetto in the suburb, and suddenly those of us that stick together saying, well, yeah, I'm American, but I'm not like that. I mean, I've even experienced. African Americans say, yeah, we're Africans, but I'm not like those Africans in Africa, you know? And it's like, how confusing can that be in the soul, in someone's existence, in how they really see the world on a soul level, and then what they have to overcompensate for in order to find balance in the conflict?
Yeah. Yeah, and... Yeah, I'm a bit of a broken record, but that, you know, that experience of trauma, most people don't have, not that I would expect them to have, but it's one of the things I think is important. There's a real gift in having a layperson's understanding of trauma. You know, that we can begin to have some kind of an understanding, all of us as Americans, kind of a working definition understanding around trauma.
Mm-hmm.
That to be able to look at history and our present living together through that lens, how we have been affected, how we may still be affected, what we need to do, each of us, for ourselves, how we can respect in one another, processes around trauma healing. Because, you know, the focus, again, so much in the States is on the individual,
mm-hmm.
that what happens is that we don't have collective resources for healing the collective traumas. So for me, that's one of the necessary solutions for the problem of separation and disconnection, fragmentation that is expressed, and violence, you know, that lives among today. You know, we need, that's what I'm spend my life energy on. Most of my time is spent in groups. It's spent, even if I'm working with somebody one-on-one, I am with the person with a consciousness about the group experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so collective traumas, collective grief requires collective resource. So that's another reason why it is right in my soul to be taking a leap of faith, you know, offering this.
You know, we're going to take a break just for it to settle into our soul and our consciousness and allow the mind, the intellect to be involved but not take over, hijack the conversation. But I have a personal question I want to ask you, but I'll let you answer when we come back. And the personal question is, what does it feel like? What is it like for you as a white woman to be facilitating this kind of conversation? Don't answer it yet. I want to hear on the other side.
Very good. Very good.
Okay. Ooh, I can't wait for the answer.
Very good.
Yes, yes, yes. Oops, sorry, Lisa. You are listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Ade. Lisa Iverson is the She's the author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truth in America's Soul. And she's facilitating a workshop, it's more than a workshop. It's an inner healing, it's a playful healing workshop called An Embodied Conversation with the Internalized Colonizer. And you can find more information by going to Family Constellations West, Family Constellations, as in stars, and the West Side, FamilyConstellationsWest.com. We're going to take a quick break and then come back, because even though we're moving at a very slow pace, there's a lot to do with. We are truly one, and you are listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Life Coach Ade and Lisa Iverson.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hey, this is Jenny Cressman. Hey, folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now, that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused, or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Did you know that color therapy has been used for thousands of years? But many of us don't realize that we've actually been practicing some form of color therapy our entire lives. We choose the colors we wear, the colors we eat, our furnishings, and wall colors. And whether you're selecting a color for your next car or toothbrush, all of your color choices are meant to make you feel better. I'm Elaine Marie, the director of Aura House School of Color and Light, and the founder of Color Therapy Month. This March, please join me in celebrating the healing power of color. For ideas on how you can participate in this worldwide event, visit our website at colortherapymonth.com.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
That's the first step towards healing, so that you may have the understanding. Because with understanding comes compassion. And from a place of compassion, you can allow more love, pure awareness. You're listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Ade. We're taking your calls, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. We've got about 15 minutes-ish to go. So if you've got questions or a comment, join the conversation, 347-426-3346. And press 1 on your keypad. Before the break, I asked Lisa a personal question. And the question was, for those who missed it, or for those who didn't just ask, I did. What is it like for you, Lisa, as a white woman, to be facilitating a conversation, to be part of a conversation, reconnecting people to their roots and looking at what happened, and also looking at internalized colonizer? And what's that experience like for you?
Well, the first answer that comes to mind is it's a complete blessing. Mm. Mm. And really that sums it up. I could say lots of other things. I will say a few more things, but I don't want to detract from that really foundational essence. It's a complete blessing.
Mm.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, I was going to say something. I just want to stay with the expression of whiteness or peachness or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
What would you say, if some people might say, well, black people, we get this. We understand this. We've been dealing with oppression for a long time. Black people in the world are oppressed. This is for white people. White people need to understand they've got ancestors and look at the kind of trauma and just the human atrocities that they committed. This is, we black people clear about that. What would you say to them?
I would say that that's true. I would say that it's absolutely true. White people have a lot of work to do. And what I see every day is that no matter who we are, no matter where we come from, if we walk around in the world with an idea that the work that has to be done mm-hmm. all belongs to somebody else, then our children will suffer. White people, yeah, a lot of white people. I mean, I cannot speak for all white people like I would expect a person of color to speak for all black color.
Right. Right.
I can speak for what I see. Yeah. White people have a long ways to go. And for reconciliation, again, what I'm interested in is how much it is essential we see how much we have in common. So what we have in common is that each of us is a son or a daughter. Each of us has ancestors. Each of us is a future ancestor. So whether we have children or not, we're the stewards of the web. We're the ones who have inherited all the images behind us,
mm-hmm.
the pleasant ones and not so pleasant ones and everything in between. So that makes us human.
Mm-hmm.
When mm-hmm. we see that, then we can really be with one another from a place of restored humanity when we see and experience how much we have in common.
Mm-hmm.
So that has been deeply disrupted. You know, that the experience and the trauma and the taking in colonialism, inherent in it is this disruption of humanity. It's a part of our humanity, and it's also disrupted it.
Mm.
So we really need each other. We need each other to be with those images. This is not about fixing or changing anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not colonialism. You know, it's not a problem to be solved from the head. It's an experience that is influencing us in our soul, in our lives. There are images of it that are operating individually in our families, in our country, that ask to be simply acknowledged, honored, integrated.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say two more things about being a white woman. One is that I'm deeply grateful through the process I've been in over the last many years to have reclaimed this wisdom of African heritage in all of us.
Oh.
Africa is the original land for our human family. Oh. And that's not an idea in my head. That's a knowing in my soul.
Hmm.
And it's from that place that somehow I have been able to work the way that I work, where
hmm.
I have the skin color I have. Everybody in the room has the skin color they have. And that shared sense in my soul that somehow has an effect in circle settings seems to be remembered a little bit.
Mm. Yeah.
And the other thing is that as a woman, and especially as a white woman, I'm honored and blessed to reclaim this, you know, the importance of acknowledging deeply the place of perpetrator,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to carry that and hold that inside of myself is what also is a blessing and allows me to work in the way that I do. We mm-hmm. have a lot of energy in our culture around gender. that reinforces men are the perpetrators and women are victims. And it is not an accident that during our break for the radio show, the commercial was about violence against women. So, you know, we need to be able to see these images of violence and release the trauma so that it stops. But if, you know, it's the family violence field that showed us there's a third energy that gets created when there's a lack of reconciliation between victim and perpetrator. And that third energy that gets created is a rescuer. So in the United States, our primary way of relating to those three energies, we love to be the rescuer, and we're happy to be the victim. But we do not know how to claim the perpetrator.
You said we do not know what?
How to claim the perpetrator in the American soul.
And yes.
Until we do that, so whose task is that? Whose task in the American soul to make a home for the perpetrator? Well, I'm not going to wait for my government to do it. I can hope, I can keep my elected officials in my prayers like I do. I can write some letters, you know. I can do some things that are available to me as a citizen, but what's going to make a difference is for me individually, personally, to do the work that's for me to do about reconciling the that energy in me and in my history and my life. And we don't realize how powerful we are unless we do that.
Yes. Yes. So, wow. We've got a question in the chat room. I almost want to leave it where you left that way, what you're having us think about, but I don't want – you've got a question in the chat room here. And see if we can – I'll just share with you, Lisa, if you want your insight on that. The question is from Tracy. She said – what about those white folks who have been Native Americans and Afro-Americans in the past lives? How do we make peace with the past in all that is happening now in our world with slavery? I guess those are two different questions.
The first question about past lives, I will say there's not much that I rule out in terms of influence. You know, it's not my place to know for other people if what's influencing them is about past life experience or not. My task is to work with that energy, how that exists for me in my own life. What I see in the States a lot is that out of disconnection from ancestry, out of all that hasn't been acknowledged, we pretty quickly go to past life experience sometimes as a way to try to understand what's happening in somebody's life. So there's a lot of people with white skin who have Native heritage 4, 5, 6 generations back. It's not a past life experience. It's lineage. And the experience of slavery, of course, a lot of people with white skin have African ancestors. A lot of people with African skin have white ancestors. So there's the reason and the blessing of this constellation method is it allows us a very embodied way to access those lineages and our ancestries, even if we don't know all the facts, the influences are still in the soul and the body. So I encourage the writer to read a bit about this work. She's welcome to look up my website, and there are resources. Yes. There's a lot on the web. It's a great question. And then the second question about slavery, it's, well, we're keeping it going. There's as much slavery in the world today because we've not healed it. So we keep doing it.
It's a great conversation to have just as we're getting ready to move into
African History Month, Black History Month, and particularly, of course, in America. But two things. Well, would you call it a workshop that you're doing, a series? I don't know, because it's a workshop, but it's not. This gathering, it's like the circle that you're having. There you go, the circle, sacred circle.
Yeah.
I like that, yes.
Yeah. And the structure is
go ahead.
Four Saturdays, the first Saturday of the month, February, March, April, May, in the Seattle area, 9 to 5 all day. And after the series ends, I'm going to do my best to glean from the participants what it was like for them to participate in this way and make that information available in a way that is respectful of the participants. The people who come to it are the leaders in this process of reconciliation. People who have the support, the permission, the draw to come to it are the ones leading the way.
Yes, yes. Now, I know that this would not be streamed online because it's not designed for that. Those who are not able to make it because they live somewhere else or maybe they live in Washington, just can't make it, what would you suggest we can do to somehow support the healing that those of you that are coming stand as representations for our global healing? What would you suggest we do?
I'm happy for any prayers. Thank you for prayers. Thank you for prayers, a blessing, support, being in resonance with us that day. If anybody wants to email me and tell me that you are with us in spirit, that you're praying for us these days, at any point, I would love to receive those emails. And there's a lot about life that I see as being an experiment. So in this series, we'll see after we have this series, what happens from there. I don't know. I don't feel a sense of attachment to any picture. I just know it's the thing to be doing. And so I'm happy to receive words, support, and prayer blessing.
Yes, indeed. You got mine, that's for sure. And as we get ready to release the show, what was that question again? Whose responsibility is it to make room for the perpetrator? I think that's a good question to let linger. Whose responsibility is it to make room for the perpetrator to be seen fully?
Yeah. It's about, and to be clear, it's about acknowledging the place. We all, if we were here for another hour, we would have a lot of stories and memories for each person, either ourselves or people in our lineages, people who've come after us, who've taken something they didn't have a right to take.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the definition. When I'm talking about perpetrator, that's the kind of a definition I'm talking about. Somebody who takes what they had no right to take. So when I want to be just really clear when I'm talking about that, the way to settle down, to stop that energy of taking what there's no right to take, is when we acknowledge those ones, including ourselves, who've done this. This is what provides this kind of a reconciliation that we're talking about. That they still belong. Bert Hellinger's brilliance in developing on the shoulders of others who came before him of many kinds, the recognition that the place of the one or the ones who commit perpetration, their task is to hold responsibility for these actions, but their place in the family remains, and the soul knows it. The family soul knows everyone belongs.
Everyone. 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 Lisa, thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
Look forward to our next show. in February, last Wednesday in February. Peace and blessings. You're welcome.
Thank you to many behind the scenes, especially the, I know there are women behind you who are helping you. Thank you. Thank you, Celeste and Yvette.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Yes, indeed. life is good. It's getting better. I'm going to start Carly from the beginning. I don't want to talk over it. All that's left to be said is we love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we thank God for you. Be a place for healing and start with you and let it spread out from there. We are indeed one. Be loved, be true to yourself, and allow yourself to be loved. It's all about compassion. It's about understanding. And I will be back. Well, I'll be on 1-2 Radio. Well, actually, I'll be on Ambassador's show tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern, Thursday. And 1-2 Radio on Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then, when I'm on, let me play Carly Jackson. You can find her on Facebook, Carly Jackson. Peace and blessings. Thank you, Carly. Take us out.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the community.